When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Big Monagle here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. Taking your calls on what was an incredible weekend, what will be a very busy week here in New York City. As for once, it just feels like there's some juice, some enthusiasm, some excitement. As the Rangers take care of Washington in game one, 4-1, an easy victory after a very tough first period that was, you know, brought down to a slog by the referees constantly calling penalties. But ultimately, the Rangers' penalty kill was up to the task, and I don't think the Capitals are, as they just can't score. They got one goal and hit off two skates. Igor looked good, but ultimately, this team is just flat out better. And you got a bunch of different two goals from the fourth line. Rempe gets a playoff goal after so many people. I'll call him out. It's okay. I can call people out. He'll appreciate it. Paul Rosenberg telling me, putting on Twitter, that Rempe's a liability. I don't expect him to play a lot in the playoffs. And then he takes that penalty in the first period. It's like, see, this is the problem. And then Rempe comes right back and puts one in the net. I don't think anybody saw that coming. VC with a goal. And yes, you got one from Panarin. You got one from Kreider. And the Panarin goal is big because he's been so bad in the playoffs for the Rangers. I mean, he's been this force in the regular season for a while. This was an even different regular season because he was so aggressive, because he took so many shots, because he scored so many goals. He wasn't just a playmaker. He was the guy. Career highs in shots on goal. Career highs in goals, obviously. He became more aggressive, and he scores the first goal in this game. Wasn't great in the game necessarily, but he gets the goal. Gets that off his back and is able to hopefully move forward and have a big-time postseason. Because if the Rangers are going to hoist that cup for the first time since 1994, if they are going to be a President Trophy winner who makes it through, if they are finally going to end this drought, it's going to take their best players playing their best, and that's obviously Panarin. He's got to have a big postseason. He just has to. Gets off to a decent start with a goal in game one, and they take care of an opponent that just isn't as good. Ovechkin's 38 years old and looks it, especially his hair. My God, did you see Ovechkin's hair? A silver fox. He's getting old, the team's getting old, and they're going to try and bog the Rangers down. But it's just, unless the Rangers really fall into that trap, I just don't see them really putting up much of a fight. They might get a gentleman sweep. They might figure out a way to get one. But this Ranger team is just too good. This is not like last year's series against the Devils where they got off to the good start and you thought, hey, their experience will get them through. It's the first time the Devils in the postseason. It's a decent matchup a little bit. You felt good about it. No, don't get me wrong. I thought they were going to win that series. I certainly thought they were going to win up 2-0. But you knew how talented the Devils were. And I don't want to touch the money, as I guess Boomer Esiason likes to say. But there is no way they're losing this series to Washington. If they do, that'll be it. Break it all down. They can't lose this series. Rangers can't, won't. There's no way, no how. They're too good. They're too talented, and they're far better than this Washington team. And then plus the Knicks, we've been talking about the first 2 hours of this show, have an incredible performance by the bench and do what, to me, is a prophetic performance on how the rest of the series is going to go, because we talk so much about stars in the NBA, so much. And Maxey and Embiid played as well as you can play. For me, Embiid could have a better game, I suppose, if completely healthy. He's not. And after watching this game, and after him tweak that knee after going for the dunk, and then seeing he clearly got a shot or something, they showed the. He comes out in the second half to, and plays So I think, I don't know about a shock, but a little bit of a surprise. And he's got the blood stain on his socks or you know, knee guard or whatever. He got a shot. And he still came out and was, you know, hobbled a little bit, but much better. But in the first half, he played as well as he could play. Within 3 minutes of the game, I thought Embiid was going to be a major problem. He looked great. He looked far better than he did against Miami. And Maxey was all over the place, couldn't slow him down. And if you're going to get two performances from that, I don't know how much better. I don't think Maxey can play better. 33 points, got to the basket at will. Maxey can't play better. That's as good as he can play. He played a tremendous game one. And Embiid, I thought, moved about as well as we've seen since returning, attempted a dunk, including throwing it off the backboard to himself, the first dunk attempt that he had since returning. So I think he was feeling good and could tell he was feeling good and moving well. He wasn't just playing that perimeter game, standing at the top of the key behind the three-point line. He got in there. He was physical. He was trying to get to the basket, trying to get to the foul line. He looked like a force. And then the combination of tweaking his knee and the defense Mitchell Robinson provided, once they really started to focus on Mitchell Robinson playing defense against him and completely shut him down. But ultimately, I thought he moved as well as he's going to move. And I can't trust, and I don't think Philadelphia fans or their head coach can trust Embiid to be healthy and moving the way he did in the first half for an entire series. I just don't see it. So if you're telling me we've seen probably the best of Embiid and he'll never be at his full best, and we've already seen the best of Maxey, and Jalen Brunson played his worst game that I've seen him play since Randle went down. You combine all that and the Knicks still win? You're going to tell me DiVincenzo plays only 25 minutes in this game and hits two threes and looks awful? And yet they still win? I understand Bogdanovich might not go on a hot streak the way he did in at the end of the second quarter. I understand that McBride might not be as effective from three-point line, and he was unbelievable, hitting five threes and really dragging this team to victory and being hit Mitchell Robinson's defense and McBride shooting are really the story of the game. And I understand that role players certainly play better at home. That's the old adage. Role players play better at home. Stars have to be better on the road. And so if they go to Philadelphia, maybe they won't shoot as well. Maybe these role players won't play as well. But ultimately, the stars of this series, it all played out for Philadelphia to win that game. And if they can't, I just don't see them doing it. So for me, both Garden teams, the number one seed overall President's Trophy winner, Rangers, off to a good start. No reason to think Washington's even a bit of trouble. And the New York Knicks, both teams with 50 wins. The Knicks, the 2 seed, taking on the banged-up Philadelphia 76ers. Get a game one when Brunson didn't play well. Embiid and Maxey played as well as I think they're capable of. And you got guys off the bench like Bogdanovich, Robinson, and Deuce, who are a combined. I mean, Bogdanovich plus 27, Robinson plus 20. Deuce McBride is plus 37 in this game. Every member of the starting five for the Knicks was a negative. Bogdanovich is plus 27, Mitch Robinson plus 20, and Deuce plus 37. That's the story, the bench. And we knew that going in. They're deeper, they have more shooters, they have more weapons, and hopefully moving forward they should have the best star on the team, because I do think Jalen Brunson is going to be far better as they move forward. And I think you looked at a game that if the Sixers can't win that one, I don't know which one they can win. 877-337-6666. Plus, both Yankee and Mets continue their winning ways and both take series over the weekend. And we got the NFL draft on Thursday. Roll that up into a ball. We have one hell of an exciting week. We got Islanders and Knicks tonight. We got Rangers tomorrow. Mets in San Francisco for a little West Coast late night baseball. I love it. And the Yankees welcome in the horrendous Oakland Athletics. We got a busy week. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
How you doing?
How you doing, Rocco?
Hey, always well, always well. I hope you are, too.
See, I'm doing great. Doing great.
Yeah, hey, me too. Loving it. New York, New York. It's like 94. Like Yogi would say, it's deja vu all over again. Rangers, Knicks, right? Hey, and the Yanks and the Mets are doing well. what more can you ask for the draft coming up? I hope Giants and Jets get their men, right? I hope.
Well, we'll see. I mean, to me, the Giants, I don't want to dismiss the Jets, and we'll see what they do at 10. If all four quarterbacks go off the board, you're looking at three wide receivers that are probably going to go off the board, Alt, the tackle, and then the tight end Bowers. So, like, I would think, with unless they're moving back, which is a possibility, I don't see them moving up. I'd be surprised. But, I mean, you're looking at hopefully getting a weapon for Aaron Rodgers. That's what at that spot, you're either getting a weapon for Aaron Rodgers or you're getting another offensive lineman to block for him. I would think that's where the Jets are going.
Right. So, going to be Bowers. I don't know. The way they're picking quarterbacks and all these wide receivers, do you think that a guy like Alt could last to 10? I don't know.
I don't know, but I wouldn't think going into the draft. I wouldn't have thought, but I mean, if you think that all four quarterbacks are going, that means you got five. You got five other picks. You got the three wide receivers,
right?
And then you got Alt and Bowers. I mean, that's
Alt and Bowers, right? So
that's it,
right? Yeah. Well, they're going to get someone good.
Well, of course, but I'm looking for it's got to impact the offense. It's got to make Aaron Rodgers' life easier. That's what I'm looking for. I got to make sure this offense works next year.
So what do you think, Alt or Bowers, if you had to select them? I mean, someone to block.
They added three offensive linemen that I think are legitimate. Obviously, Smith is a legitimate All-pro left tackle. I know advanced in age, and hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yeah, they're all.
And they've added three offensive linemen. So me, I want the weapon. If a wide receiver is there, I'll take a wide receiver. If Bowers is there, and I believe he is this unbelievable, you know, he's not much of a blocker, or at least, you know, that's the thought, but an incredible pass catcher. Yeah. I mean, I mean, I want to, and me and Fleeks talked about it the other day, the lack of really big, tight ends he's had in his career. Aaron Rodgers, despite having all the numbers and winning all the MVPs and, you know, winning all the divisions and winning a Super Bowl and everything, you look at his career, I mean, he hasn't really had a lot of offensive tight end weapons. I mean, and, you know, Mercedes Lewis is the only one who was a first-round pick. He played with really not a lot of big-time Bubba Franks. Like, there's really not a lot of tight ends. So to give him that weapon inside this offense should be interesting. He played with Jimmy Graham at the end of his career, you know.
He utilized Cobb a lot. That's where he made Cobb.
Cobb. He made a lot of wide receivers. He's an incredible quarterback. But to give him another weapon like that, a tight end weapon, which for me, when I think of great pass-catching tight ends, I think of red zone. I think of tight end. I think of touchdown targets, and especially
Brock could be that guy. Brock could be that guy. So maybe they should go there. They definitely.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think they can go wrong at that spot. It'd be tough to go wrong at it.
Right.
If all four quarterbacks go off the board,
don't forget it's our Jet.
I understand.
Don't forget it's the Jet.
I understand.
But no, shouldn't go wrong. They shouldn't go wrong. Zach Wilson, ring a bell.
I understand.
Browning Nagel, ring a bell.
We can go through all the different horrendous draft picks the Jets have had over the years. Douglas wasn't making those picks, though. So,
right? No.
Although he was making the, he did make the, he did make the quarterback selection. So he's not immune to bad picks. He's had a couple.
That's gonna leave a lasting taste.
Well, right now that's his legacy. His legacy is drafting Zach Wilson. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
His legacy is never being able to build an offensive line, drafting Zach Wilson, and not being able to end this playoff streak. Right now, that's his legacy. And I mean, getting Aaron Rodgers, which is a failure.
Right. Could rectify it this year, right? They built
We're hoping to rectify. They should hang that up. That should be some, a poster or a wall inside the Jets training camp. Yeah. Inside the Jet building.
We're going to rectify. Ready to rectify. Definitely. How about the Giants? What do you think they're going to do?
How about it?
McCarthy or?
I hope they draft a quarterback. I don't know what they're going to do.
They better.
My gut tells me they don't make trades. My gut tells me is they sit there at six, and if a quarterback they like is there, they'll take him. If not, they'll take a wide receiver. That's my gut. I'm hoping they trade.
Yeah.
Good.
We don't know Daniel Jones. He gets hit once.
No, that's a, no. I, we know Rocco. We know. Thank you for the call, buddy. We know. I know about Daniel Jones. There is no future in Daniel Jones. How many years can we do this? How many years? Oh, if he only has this, if he only has that. It's been 6 years of one good season, and he was awful last year. And when the backups came in, they did better. But he's got no weapons. He's got no line. Tyrod Taylor had the same weapons and the same line and did better. And at least threw the ball down the field. And the one year they were successful, their defense played well and was opportunistic. Saquon Barkley had a great year. And the offense from Daniel Jones was, if you look at your first option, if it's not there, tuck and run. That's how he played. And then he got hot at the end of the year. I won't take it away from him. He played great against the Colts. He played great against Minnesota. And then there was another game after that. It was against Philadelphia, and he was trash. I understand he was great in Minnesota. Then he played another playoff game. We forget about it. It's the lost game. It's like the gold medal game of the 1980s Olympics. Everyone remembers beating the Russians. Nobody remembers they played a gold medal game. That's Daniel Jones. Somehow Daniel Jones is a Rizzioni. Like somehow he beat the Russians and then that was it. He beat Minnesota and then we forget what happens. We don't remember that he went to go play the division rival who beats us all the time and got embarrassed and was awful in the game, along with the rest of his teammates, but he was awful in the game. And then he started the next year awful. And how'd that year end? Oh, yeah, with a neck injury followed by a blown-out knee. And how did the year before the playoffs end? With neck surgery. There is no way to plan a future with Daniel Jones as quarterback. There's just no way. I don't care how much he's getting paid. I don't care the contract. I don't believe them for one second when they tell you they believe in Daniel Jones. They believe on some level he's capable of being a quarterback in the NFL, sure. Is he a starter in the NFL? I guess. He's not going to get you to a Super Bowl. He's not going to win for you. And I can't trust him to stay healthy. Now, I don't know if they'll draft a quarterback, but I'll tell you this. If the Giants do not draft a quarterback, it is not because they believe in Daniel Jones. It is not because they have their future set on him. It's not because they believe he's a franchise quarterback and they can win a Super Bowl with him. It's because they didn't deem trading up worth it. The package was too much. And their guy wasn't available to them at 6. That's the only reason they don't draft a quarterback. It will not be because they are banking on the idea of Daniel Jones being their guy. It's not. Because there's no way you can do that. These guys, this is their career. This is literally their career. We don't know what's going to happen. If they have another miserable season because Daniel Jones goes down again. Oh, they got Drew Lock. I forgot. They're really comfortable with the quarterback room. They got Drew Lock. They got Drew Lock and Tommy Cutlets. They're fine. Please. If they lose this season, they might be out of a job. Never mind the fact that the greatest head coach in history is dying to coach the team and waiting in the wings and is already telling people he wants to coach the Giants. And you got an owner who's dying to give the fan base a winning team. And what's an easier sell to the franchise than, hey, here's the greatest coach who ever lived? Their lives depend on this. They can't just bank on Daniel Jones with no answer. I'm telling you, that's if they don't, they just won't think it's value, because there is no way you could look at Daniel Jones and tell me he's the future. You just can't. You might think it. And hell, I guess there's even a chance it happens, I suppose. I don't think it will happen. But I guess there's a chance he stays healthy and becomes great. Why not? I'll give it to you. There's a chance. You can't bank on it. There's not enough evidence to bank on it. And so what do I want the Giants to do as a Giant fan? I want them to draft the future quarterback. And for me, I don't care what it costs. I don't care how many draft picks it costs. It's drafting the right quarterback. If they're right on it, which they were right on Josh Allen, that's what got them the job. If they're right on it, there's nothing more valuable. What would Kansas City trade now, going, if they can go back to that draft, what would they trade? What would they not trade? What would anybody not trade to go get Patrick Mahomes? And I know that's an extreme. He's the best quarterback in the league, arguably on his way to becoming the best quarterback ever. So I know that's an extreme. But still, right now, CJ Stroud. What would you not trade to go get CJ Stroud? What picks would you not give up? What future picks would you not give up to go get that player? What would you not give up to go get Joe Burrow? What would you not give up to go get Josh Allen? What would you not give up? There's nothing to not get. You give up everything. And you got to take that chance that you believe. If they believe in a guy, they have to be willing to take that chance. Because that's the only thing that breeds sustained winning. It's the only thing. Drafting a great running back doesn't guarantee anything. We've seen it. Drafting a great left tackle doesn't guarantee you winning. It doesn't even guarantee you improved offensive line play. Drafting a pass rusher doesn't guarantee you anything. There's only one position where if you get it right, you are going to win annually. One position. And when you're at the top of a quarterback-heavy draft and you have a coach and a GM who literally got their jobs drafting and developing Josh Allen, that's what I want to do. I heard Lori talking to someone before I came on, and he was like, well, listen, you could always trade back and get more draft capital that could set you up to trade up for next year. Well, why the hell would I want to accrue more draft capital now in hopes of trading up next year for a quarterback when I'm here now? I want to do it now. I don't want to stockpile and hope I can use that stockpile to then trade up and get. I'm here now. Let's go do it. So that's what I want the Giants to do. If I haven't made myself clear, I want them to draft a quarterback. And I don't care which one. I mean, I want them to have conviction in it. So that'll if they don't draft a quarterback, it's because they didn't believe in any of the quarterbacks. It can't be. I refuse to believe it's because they believe in Daniel Jones. I refuse to believe it's because they gave Daniel Jones a contract, which they can get out of after this year. I refuse it has anything to do with Daniel Jones. It's all about what they deemed as value to either move up and get their guy or who was available at six that they didn't have faith in. That will be the only reason they don't draft a quarterback. Because they're too smart to rely on a guy who's had one winning season in 6 years, has had one healthy season in 6 years, and has finished the last two of three seasons with neck surgery and a torn ACL. That's not someone you have faith in moving forward. It's just not.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 334. McMonagle here with you. 877-337-6666. On this Earth Day. I only know it's Earth Day because my son at the... We had, obviously, a Saturday full of Little League games. And so at the end of his game, this is how impressionable he is. He says things all the time. Little things. Like he watches Mighty Ducks, right? Harmless. It's a hockey movie. It's why can't my kid watch Mighty Ducks? You wouldn't think anything. And yet he still says things for Mighty Ducks, like, and he knows exactly how to use it in the exact tone. I'm just like, where the hell did you get that? And then I'm watching Mighty Ducks with him. I'm like, that's where you go. Like, he just repeats these things. You know, you got to be careful what they watch. But even from school. So I only know it's a birthday because Saturday they have the game. He's instructional, whatever. Whereas, like, the coach pitches. The coach gets on one knee and pitches to the kids. Games take, 35 hours. So after the game, the coach, brings them in a circle, talks about all the different things they need to work on or what they were good at. Oh, what great day for you. Oh, you did this. We saw that play there. Remember this circumstance, this scenario. You got to do this. Ball's in the air. You got to hold. Not like anybody hits the ball in the air anyway. It's a bunch of ground balls to third every single batter. But so then at the end, he has, hands in and you say something. And he lets different kids pick what we're going to say each time. So Saturday, he picks my son. He says, all right, Tommy, what are we saying today? I swear, my son goes, we love the earth. I'm like, love the earth? What the hell was that? Like, a lot of the kids are doing, like, there's this one kid who's a big Pokemon fan. So, like, we had Pikachu a couple times or Charizard or whatever. Another kid did ice cream because the coach once said if you hit a line drive back at the coach pitcher and you knock his hat off, I'll buy everyone ice cream. So ice cream, like these are all the different things, like normal kid stuff, candy, whatever. He's like, all right, Tommy, you get to pick. He's like, we love our earth. And then, all right, 1, 2, 3, we love our earth. And like the kids didn't think anything of it. Like, no, none of the kids, like, the coaches all just, like, chuckled. Like, none of the kids thought it was weird at all. They were like, okay, cool. Like, I guess for Earth Day, they've probably been, like, learning about loving Earth. There's nothing wrong with the message. I love it. We should love our Earth. It's the only one we got. But just, I don't know. What should we say? We love our Earth. Happy Earth Day, my dudes.
You got my hopes up of talking about loving the Mighty Ducks that he was going to say ducks fly together.
No, I know. No, he's
or it's that just, he quacked at the coach.
No, I know. That would be something. No. I think he did. He did want, I think I told that. Yeah, he did want to do quack. He was trying to do quack in the dugout, but that's like faded. He's on to something else. But I'm just saying impressional where like he'll repeat things. Like they must be talking about it at school. Like we love our earth because I don't know where he got that from. We love our earth. Okay. And he'll repeat things from movies or, like, him and the little guy have been watching it's a new version of Garfield that's out on, like, Amazon. It's actually pretty funny. But he'll say things, and it's like, what? Where did you get that from? You gotta watch what they watch. He also loves these YouTube videos, I was telling you this, I think, of imperialism, where it's how he's getting into sports, mainly. It's through video games. There's this guy. There are multiple people do it, but mainly this one guy who does it the best. And he just takes the map of the United States and puts the teams where they are, and then he spins a wheel, and whatever team he lands on, then he spins a wheel in direction, and a team will take on the team in that direction. So say it's the Knicks, and then, they're going south, and so it'll be the Knicks, and they'll go south, and they'll play whomever, and then he'll play the video game out, and the winner wins and takes over the territory until one team has conquered the entire map. And he does it with football and baseball. I don't know. My kid gets a kick out of it. And the guy does like commentary, and he'll usually do just like the first person to hit a three, like the basketball game. He doesn't play the whole game. It's the first team to hit a three, or he plays 30 second quarters or whatever. But he loves that. That's really what's gotten him into sports, really, besides playing it. And then, but now he knows all the guys mainly on that. And then each team that wins gets the other team's best player, so you develop like these super teams. It's actually pretty interesting, I guess. The guy does a good job with it on YouTube, but like these are the things the kids get into. You have no idea. But yeah. We love our earth. All right, everybody. Teddy's mommy brought graham crackers. Enjoy. Joe in Huntington on the fan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, big man.
Hey, Joe.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Joe.
I love your opening.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, if you want to go back and if the rest of you want to know what Joe's talking about, loving my open, go back in the Odyssey app. Check it out. I was on at 1 o'clock today. Go back. Check it out. You got an hour more of me than typical. And we're pumped about the Rangers. We're pumped about the Knicks. We're pumped about the Garden. We're pumped about the playoffs. And we're ready to go.
Am.
Big week.
Big, because I'm a big New York nut.
Well, listen, there's really, I have to admit, I watched the Rangers a lot.
Knicks.
Yeah, go ahead. I watched the Rangers a lot. I don't watch a lot of NHL hockey besides the Rangers. I'll be fair, and some
Me
of
too.
Our locals. But there is nothing. Playoff hockey is as exciting, as intense.
I agree.
There's something about the element of, like, you saw the goal today for the, if you're watching the Ranger game yesterday, the goal for the Caps, it goes off two skates and in. We saw a puck that went off in the Canucks game or whatever game it was, puck go off the post three different times. Like, it's just the element of anything could happen, squeak through, off a face, it's just so intense.
Yeah.
I love playoff hockey. Hockey is the
best. I had a business in carpet, and I used to
do a lot
of the Islanders because I live in Huntington.
You carpeted the Islanders' place a lot?
Well, all the players.
Yeah, sure.
Their houses.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, I'm good friends with Pat LaFontaine, Jerry Cooney, you know, a lot of people.
I gotcha.
It was good. That's the only team me and my son root against. I'm an Islander. He likes Rangers. But I was a season ticket holder for the Jets, the Yankees, and the Knicks.
Ah, big-time sports fan. That carpeting business did you well.
Yes.
Good for you.
I made big time. Then I went into the schools. I seen Boomer play, and I seen his daughters, and I seen... The guy that does the updates, the big guy. I seen him in the stands.
Peter Schwartz?
Yeah.
You've seen Peter Schwartz?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that guy was blowing his horn, and I took it away and threw it down, and I went up in the stands, and he told me to keep moving.
You took Peter Schwartz's horn away from him?
No, the kid's horn.
Peter Schwartz's kid's horn?
Not his kids. The kids that were in the stands, because I was supervising.
Oh, you were supervising.
Yeah.
So the kids were blowing the horn, and you had to put an end to that nonsense.
Yeah.
I know that. We used to,
The AD made me, Jim Amon and Mike, they made me take it down.
That's it. You got to take that horn down. You can't be, and probably at inappropriate times too, blowing that air horn,
the air horn.
I know that. We used to, a couple of my friends in high school used to do that too. We used to go to like all the.
I used to have to be, I was the head security there.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Don't feel bad about it now. I hope this doesn't keep you up at night. You got to take those horns away.
No, you know, I hardly sleep. I'm retired now. You know, I'm 69 years old.
Really? And you hardly sleep in your retirement?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could tell you something right now. When I retire, I'm sleeping. You have four grandkids?
Four grandkids. I seen my son. My son's kid played baseball. He hit two. One hit the grass. That was the furthest one. And that's on Instagram.
It hit the outfield grass.
Yes.
Yes.
They're all infield.
Yeah.
There was a guy on his knees. You know, I coached for 10 years baseball for my son, and I was a director for softball for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love sports.
Yeah, like you do. You've done everything.
I
have season tickets to almost every team in town.
Movies. I'm not into movies. The only thing I'm into, sports. But then, you know,
what about sports movies?
Did
you ever give that a try?
My brother died 3 years ago
on
July 31st, and then my wife died. I was married 40 years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She had cancer. I know. It's hard. That's why I don't sleep. I listen to the radio. That's why.
Well, you got to try and get your rest, though, man.
I get all psyched up.
That's right, but you got to try and get your rest in. I can tell you right now.
I get rest. I watch my grandkids. I put them on the bus. I keep busy. Trust me, my yard is beautiful.
I have no doubt.
You know, but yeah, perfect. I remember when you went to school with your kid, and you had to go in school to do some project.
Yeah, I made reindeer food.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, listen, you got to make sure you put that glitter in the reindeer food, otherwise they don't see it when they come on Christmas.
We do it here.
You do reindeer food? Yeah, you throw it out on the stoop.
Yeah,
you entice the reindeer to come, as if Santa wouldn't come.
Poor grandkids love it.
I understand, Joe. I understand, and I wish you well in your retirement. Thank you for the call, and I know you're excited. I know you're excited. I can tell in your voice. Listen to the passion Joe has. The man doesn't sleep. He's so excited. He had to give up his carpet company. But that doesn't stop him. That doesn't stop him at all. 877-337-6666. You know, it's another story I saw that cracks me up just because the Rockies are the Rockies. But this is a weird one. So do we all know? I think we do. Hensley Mueller. He was a coach for the Mets. He was a coach for the Yankees. He was actually in the mix for the Yankees head coaching job. I remember him, you know, his name being mixed around when they hired Boone. But he's been a hitting coach for both. He's currently the hitting coach for the Colorado Rockies. Now you say, Chris, why the hell would you care about that? I don't. But here's a story that I find particularly funny. So the Rockies were flying on a road trip. I think they were going to, where were they going? I just saw the story. I think it was Toronto. I'm not sure who they were playing. Doesn't matter. They're flying on a road trip. They're on a plane. Hensley Mullins puts out a video on Twitter of him in the cockpit. Like it's like a little bit of a video. He's sitting in the pilot's chair as the plane is flying. And he's like, oh, look at me. I'm in the pilot's chair. Isn't this cool? And he posted on social media. Well, the FAA didn't like that. And so now they have launched an investigation of an unauthorized person in the flight deck during United charter flight for the Colorado Rockies last week when he posted this video. So they are being investigated by the FAA, because their hitting coach wanted to be a pilot for 5 minutes. And I'm sorry, yeah, listen, you can't, you have everyone's life in your hand. And let's be honest, he's got enough on his plate trying to get the Rockies to hit, trying to figure the real investigation to be what happened to Chris Bryant. He's hurt again. He's hitting 149. In the 3 years he's been with Colorado, he's played 42 games, 80 games, and now 13 before he's got hurt. I'm sure he'll come back. I don't think it's a devastating injury. But he's been awful. But, I mean, leave it up to, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Can you imagine Juan Soto in the cockpit right now? I'm sure he could do anything. Like, honestly, on a flight right now. Maybe that's what they should have gifted John Sterling. Hey, John, you could fly to our next road trip. Who needs a television? An experience of a lifetime, John. I mean, Juan Soto could convince anybody to do anything right now. You think the Yankees, you think Juan Soto could just pull, hey, you want me to stay? Let me fly the plane. All right, let him fly the plane. Just don't post it on social media. The FAA has launched an investigation into the Colorado Rockies because their hitting coach was flying the chartered plane on the road. You can't make it up. I mean, they've been awful. They're 4-15. They got a run differential of 5-17. I'm sorry. I was just reading the story. At the time of the video, it was 4-15. They're 5-17 with a run differential of -55. They've scored 80 runs. They've scored 80 runs. Only Only the Cardinals have scored less in the National League. They're one of the worst hitting teams in the league. They're in dead last, and they got their hitting coach flying the plane.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Boom, boom, boom. All right. 3:55. McGonagall here with you for another hour and 5 minutes. Taking you to the 5 o'clock, and the warm-up show comes your way on this Monday of what will be an enormous week here in New York as we got playoffs. Later tonight, we have Knicks, Sixers game two. We've got Islanders, Hurricanes game two. At the exact same time. Fleeks, how are you handling it? You weren't here on Friday, and I didn't have the, because we got the schedule at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Marco brought it into me, and I have they given the times out for game six and seven? I know it's the same dates.
No, just 2, 3, and 4.
Right, 2, 3, and 4. Now it's two out of games.
Games 2 and 3 are same day, same time. Right. Games 4 are separate. Islanders Saturday, Knicks Sunday.
Right.
And games 5, 6, and 7 are the same day.
Right.
We don't know the time yet.
Right. And at least one of them is like a day of the week, so you know it's going to be a night game, not going to play in the middle of the afternoon. So that's almost a guaranteed.
Right. If there's not an entire overlap, it's going to mostly overlap.
Right. So how are you handling it?
So the way I did it, because I was hosting the overnight yesterday. So,
okay.
And you had the scattered start time. So right. I did Islanders. The first period was played before the Knicks were on. I kept watching the second period. Once the second period ended, went to the Knicks on the DVR, watched the entire first half, then back to the Islanders for the third period, and then back to the Knicks for the second half. Ultimately, I ended up like finishing the Knicks only a couple minutes, I think, after the game was over.
Okay.
And I had the Mets. I watched the first hour of that game.
Yeah.
You know, sole focus, and then kept it on the second TV, which I have it's an Apple TV box. So I have the pause and then the skip 10 seconds ahead.
Oh,
so
nice.
Anytime there was a stoppage and the Islanders and Knicks just
sure.
hit boom, boom, watch. So I actually still saw every pitch of the Mets game. I have no idea when I finished that relative to when they actually won the game and when right. that was over. But I know I finished the Knicks a couple minutes after it ended. And after trying it that way with the separate DVR, I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off tonight because of a 7:30 and then having to come in here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to at least try to start one because I want, like, you know, regular season, I'll throw on, I have a 3 TV setup in the basement or the 2.
Right.
Or whatever, you see what, you know, as much as you can.
Right.
It's the play. Like, I'll throw the Mets on the second TV sure. at 9:45 or the draft on Thursday.
Right.
It's a playoff game. Like,
yeah.
I have to see everything.
I know.
So, I'm going to try. We'll report back tomorrow, but I'm going to try to watch one on, I guess, Islanders first. Try to watch first period or so, on
right.
maybe second, and then catch up on the Knicks.
That's brutal.
It's miserable. I mean, it's awesome to have these team in the playoffs and, you know, first world problem and all that.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, can I get just, you know, and then a Tuesday, Wednesday, I have nothing. I mean, the Rangers are all, but like, I mean, for my teams,
right,
they're
right,
both
right.
in the playoffs. And then I'm sitting there for 2 days with nothing on
nothing.
Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
I know.
Mets are on the West Coast of Tuesday night, so nothing until 9:45. And then Thursday, everything is on at the same time. Thankfully, there's no baseball, but everything else after 2 nights of nothing for my teams,
right.
then, all right, here's 2 playoff games and the draft, which even if you're not focused on your team, is one of my favorite TV events of the year.
I know.
All at the same time.
Crazy. Amazing. I know. The schedule really screwed Islander and Knicks fans. There's no doubt about it.
And you have to imagine, like, I know obviously there's, you know, split in the hockey fans, but if you're an Islanders fan and you have an interest in basketball,
right.
there's a 95%+ chance that you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
And the NBA schedule came out first, so the NHL has to know. You know, the Knicks are the better team this year.
Right.
They haven't been in the playoffs as much the last.
Yeah, you don't want to jeopardize the New York market.
And basketball is just a bigger sport.
Yeah,
they have to have hurt the ratings for this. You know, people outside of Islander fans and Hurricanes fans aren't exactly locking into this series.
Yeah.
So, like, what was the NHL? I mean, even, you know, play the game at 6:30 or 7:00. Once you know the Knicks are 7:30, try to scatter it just a little bit.
You would think. I was surprised to see it mirrored it almost exactly. Amazing. I mean, I feel for you.
I'm surprised they didn't just go for all seven. If he hit 6 of 7, go for all seven.
Because I'm the king. I have 3 televisions in my living room. I'm capable of watching multiple things at once. Playoff games are different. You can't do that. You can't. If you're really a diehard, you can't. You can't mess around and watch one thing and not. It's just impossible. It's very difficult. Mike and Merrick, what's up, Mike?
Yo.
How about those Rangers, Mike?
I don't know. That was good.
That was real good. There's good, and then there was what yesterday was. It's real good.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, great. Even better. What a good word. Great.
Great game. I loved it. I was screaming, yelling. Oh, that was great.
What was your favorite moment, Mike? When did you know?
When I saw Chris Kreider.
That. Yeah, Kreider.
That was sick.
That was one hell of a pass, and then a great shot. And then Kreider's always great with the enthusiasm. He goes into the boards, stands up, big scream. But, I mean, he's now pretty much the franchise leader in almost all things playoffs. And thank you, Mike. And game two will be Tuesday night. And the Rangers better make quick work. Quick work of this Washington Capitals team. There is no reason. The Capitals are not in their class. They're just not. Next round, be different. This Capitals team that they talked about on the broadcast traded away pieces at the deadline, sold at the deadline, and have somehow shown the gumption and the fight to make it to the postseason. But they're just not. I mean, you're watching. I don't know how they're going to score on this team. I just thought. Like, they barely had a shot. Even the power play. Watching the power play and you know, Micheletti was like, at some point, they're going to have to shoot the puck. Like, it was just, they had one goal, it was off 2 skates. I just really think this Ranger team is far, far better. And I'll be disappointed if it goes 6. I'll be disappointed. This needs to go 5 at the max and move on. None of these long series against teams they should be beating.